Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, motherfucker!
What are you looking at, sir?
I'm looking at you, miss.
Run that, baby.
I'm not the Zodiac. And if I was, I certainly wouldn't tell you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Decade Project on One Heat Minute Productions Patreon. I'm your host, Blake Howard. If you've never listened to an episode of The Decade Project before, what we do is we go back 10 years and look at the movies that are still hanging around and still resonating from the year that we are in. So this year, 2024, we're looking back at the films of 2014. And today, we're talking about a film that was absolutely an instant cult smash. We're talking about a movie that is hanging around in a way that some of the other Decade Project movies that we've discussed have not been able to keep pace with. And I think no one would have predicted at the time when this film came out how big it would have an impact on culture and how big it would have an influence on movies that were made in the following 10 years. So today I'm joined by my friend and the incredible host of the 50 Miles Per Hour podcast, Chris Tapley, to talk about Chad Stahelski and Derek Kolstad's John Wick.
I'm up.
You like that, huh?
Nice ride.
Thanks.
How much?
Excuse me?
How much for the car?
She's not for sale.
You have good day, sir.
Daisy.
I lost everything. That dog was a final gift from my dying wife.
Jonathan, you got out once. You dip so much as a pinky back into this pond, you may find something reaching out to pull you back in.
It's personal.
Where'd you get that car?
What does it matter?
It's not what you did, son. It's who you did it to.
That nobody?
That nobody. It's John Wick.
You working again?
No, just sorting some stuff out.
Task your crew.
How many?
As many as you have.
Hey, John. I thought I'd let myself in.
People keep asking if I'm back.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
I'm not afraid of John Wick.
Uh-huh.
How good's your laundry?
No one's that good.
I thought not.
I like that. You mentioned the writer. Fantastic. I always give the writer love.
Yeah, give him love, man. He deserves it. I mean, look, very much, obviously, Chad Stahelski is kind of the orchestrator. He's got a very kind of like impressionistic way of like discovering story, goes to locations, looks at different art, listens to different kinds of music, watches different films, and then thinks of ways that he's going to bend the next genre entry. But let's go back to 2014. John Wick comes out. It just looks like a kind of Keanu action vehicle. No one is really thinking about what it's going to mean. If you'd seen the name Chad Stahelski on the director's list, you're like, oh, Chad Stahelski, where's he from? You're like, oh, he's a famous stuntman who's actually Keanu's stuntman on The Matrix. You might sort of know some of that if you had. But at the time that this came out, it dropped with a bang, with a huge and a small, relatively small movie dropped with an absolute clang and instantly became a classic. Can you remember what it was like in 2014, this movie coming out? And had you, knowing that you were around as like an award pundit and things like that, but definitely steeped in the industry, did you have any clue that this was on the horizon? Did you have a view of it coming? Did you hear any buzz about it before it dropped? Or were you just like me going to the cinema and seeing it and they were just immediately shocked at how amazingly high quality and great the film was?
Oh, well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Honestly, I don't have too many of these black holes in my memory. I do not remember when I saw John Wick. If I saw it in a screening, it seems like I would have.
Yeah.
Was it Lionsgate?
Yeah, it's Lionsgate. Yep.
So 2014, I was at HitFix. It was like April or something, right? Yep. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I'm going to check the release date.
And I just don't know why I don't have a vivid memory, which tells me I might not have seen it at a screening. I mean, that's
oh,
after
no, it was
the
like
Oscars.
Actually October 2014.
Oh, it was October. Okay. So 2014, that's the Birdman year, right? So this is how sick my mind is, by the way. Like, I think of what was the Oscar movie? I don't have a vivid memory of seeing. I may have even come to it late. I just don't recall. But point is, what I did know very vividly was its title, which is such an interesting note because of how instantly sort of branded it was.
Yeah.
I know that the original script, I think, was called Scorn, and it was about an older, it's more like a Death Wishy kind of thing. Older guy. And the character was still called John Wick, I think. So they called the movie John Wick. And that definitely stuck out to me. It just made it this like unusual item in the marketplace. And Keanu hadn't really, like, what was he up to around then? Like he was very much in need of like a new direction, I think.
He had a funny couple of years because if you go back to, let's just go from 2010 or 2019. Oh, sorry, 2009. So in 2010, it's Henry's Crime. And then it's like 2013 is Man of Tai Chi, 47 Ronin, Extreme Pursuit. Right around the time of the first John Wick, he also films Knock Knock. But you have to go back to like sort of the previous, I guess, era of Keanu, and you've got things like The Matrix Revolutions is 2003, Something's Gotta Give. Then you've got Constantine, right. 2005, great. Scanner Darkly does The Lake House with Sandy, 2006, Street Kings. But then there's this weird Day the Earth.
It's that weird
still.
Era. It's weird, that weird Keanu era.
Yes.
Because there's this book everybody should read that I had the guy on my podcast, Alex Papademos wrote it. Keanu Reeves Most Triumphant. And he just goes through almost every Keanu movie and just puts the dude on the couch. And it's this great analysis. And that period of time is so funny in that book because it's just movie after movie that I'm like, what? What's that? Never heard of it. Like it's like the dude just kept working. And it's just interesting. And Man of Tai Chi, that's the movie he directed. So he's coming off of actually, you know, flexing his own creative muscles at that time. And to work on this movie with his stunt guy, the familiarity of that. I can't imagine they were making something that they thought was going to be some raging success or anything. I think they were just having some fucking fun.
Yeah.
And what I will say is when I did finally see it, I mean, the tightness of it, the sort of, I just watched it again this morning knowing we were going to do this, like those first 30 minutes.
Oh.
Where you, which, you know, it's such a shame you can never go back and watch a movie for the first time again, because it withholds information well for the first act until you really get the full scope of what's going on. And once you get the full scope of what's going on, then it starts to open up its internal mythology, which it would of course explode in prior and previous or later films. But you just get the kind of taste of that mythology with the Continental and this broader world and all of that. But it's mainly this kind of tight revenge story. And I mean, it's probably still the best John Wick movie, right? Like John Wick 2 is really cool. I really like John Wick 2. I like the way they expanded the mythos there. The third one gets out of control and the fourth one is awesome, but way too long. But the first one is just really like pot boiled in such a good way. And also, I was watching it this morning while on my walk. So I was sort of watch listening. Great score to walk to. Just want to say that. But I mean, I loved it. I thought it was such a cool moment for Keanu to sort of really dig into to an instantly iconic character like that, because he had not had one for a while.
It had been like some time. You look at how it was received, and normally like it's funny, there's so many like weird reviews, and I love going back 10 years because like there's a famous Australian film critic, David Stratton. He's like, it's a film where there's almost no plot, and what plot there is totally predictable. So it's just a series of gun battles. After 5 minutes or so, you get heartily sick of it, right? Like, so there's some old stuffy reviews, and then you get something like David Sims, who wrote for The Atlantic. He's like, it's not perfect, but it's special. Like, he's like, it's not perfect, but it's special. Such a perfect turn of phrase. It's like, yes, that's exactly what this is. It got really, really appreciated almost instantaneously. I remember seeing it, would have been later in that year. I would have gone to a screening and I just saw it and I was like, oh, this is excellent. And to jump forward quickly, it's like, who would have thought? Like, usually I'm like, oh, okay, what happened 10 years ago? What happened? This film created an industry. Like, it saw a massive resurgence of Keanu as a movie star and his movie star power. It saw an explosion of like bringing action cinema back to the mainstream in a huge way, like in the same way that it had done in sort of the early, like late 80s, early 90s, like bringing proper action stars back to the cinema, an appreciation for physical stunts once again, and just sort of letting the camera, and I think this is one of Chad Stahelski's real skills, is like letting the camera appraise incredible bodies in motion, people flying around, people getting bashed, cars crashing into things, great stunts. And you're so right about the electricity of the first John Wick one, and maybe why it's still the perfect one is because there's nothing that I think the audience realized that we would bay for blood more than, like, you see this guy, his wife passes away. It's awful tragedy. She sends him a puppy and then they kill the puppy. And like, we all were just like, now everyone needs to die. Now everyone absolutely needs to die. Like, that puppy was so adorable. Everyone on the planet, like the other movies have all been great in expanding mythology, and Keanu's so great. They're all excellent. I have to agree with you. I've actually gone back to chapter two quite a few times. Really like the nastiness of the villain in two, and I really like his still reluctance to be the guy. I really love Franco Nero as the head of the Continental in Rome, asking if he's coming to kill the Pope. I love Common. There's so many cool things in that movie.
That silencer gun battle is one of the great action sequences of all. Like, they're shooting water pistols at each other and something on the playground. It's so good. And the ending, I mean, the end of that movie, the best part of part three is the beginning, because it's an extension of the ending of two.
Yes.
So it's just like, that whole bit is so good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so great. But in the preceding 10 years, we've got, and we talked about this before. It's like, just before we started recording, it's like, I'm a huge Mission Impossible fan of the whole series. I love it. The first film's in 96 and it's 2024 and we haven't got the eighth. And in the John Wick universe, we've got four films now. Five, if you include the film, I think it's Ballerina that's being shot right now with Ana de Armas, is part of this extended universe. You've got a Continental TV series. I know that Chad Stahelski and the team behind it are like, this has, and great Ian McShane interviews, this has absolutely nothing to do with us. I don't know why they did it. We don't endorse it. We hate it. All those sorts of things. But it's become...
Can I say something about that?
Yeah,
just real quick. 2 years before that show was even announced, I literally tweeted, they should make a show called The Continental and put it on Stars. Like, I said everything that they did. I was like, it was just dying for that treatment. But anyway, I've never seen it. I don't know if it's any good.
But the fact that they've ignored it is there, but it has now become a huge industry and has had an incredible impact to every one of these guys' careers. You know, Stahelski is about to go off and make a Highlander remake. You know, Keanu is back in prominence and in between the John Wicks is making the Matrix Revolutions as well, which is huge. So what have you seen and especially now that you're doing like 50 miles per hour, what are you seeing from like how this period, this later period of Keanu has done for his like fame and his like place in the culture? Because I feel like since John Wick, it almost demanded that people go back and revisit his entire filmography again and again and again and continue to bring him and elevate him up to like a new level. You know, even films like Dracula, which I know that you love too, like that's a film that has also, I feel like, gotten some rediscovery on the back of how popular John Wick and the John Wick franchise has become.
The Keanu songs.
It is.
It sort of started like, what was that year where he had like four things out? He was in like Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
He was in
Always Be My Maybe.
I think John Wick 3 was that year.
Yeah, John Wick
Always
3.
Be My Maybe was a few years later, right?
So John Wick 3 is 2019, Always Be My Maybe 2019, Toy Story 4 2019, and then Between Two Ferns the movie 2019 as well.
SpongeBob the next year, Bill and Ted, you know, bringing that back. I think a lot of this extends from like, when did the sad Keanu thing start? The meme.
You know, I'm gonna find that.
I don't mean to bring all this up, but like, it's like there's this moment where people finally keyed into the fact that this is a very good human, and I mean that he is a mensch, and you know these stories of him being on subways and helping people, doing this, doing that, whatever it is. I don't remember all the stories, but it seems like for a while there were just these like random stories of Keanu doing kind things and being a kind dude. And you want a guy like that to succeed and be a success and transcend success. And so I think people have just sort of finally caught up with the man's aura beyond, you know, the 90s popularity he had, because that was a very poppy popularity, but now it's a very soulful popularity. I mean, I'm one of the people I interviewed for 50 miles per hour is Natsuko Ohama, who was one of the passengers on the bus, one of the actors on the bus. And she actually taught Keanu Shakespeare, like was teaching him Shakespeare years before that movie. Like, it's kind of an interesting thing that they got together on that movie. And she has this funny comment to me. She's like, and now look at Keanu. He's become like this Zen master or something, whatever she said. And it was just like, it's just interesting hearing her just delight and surprise at his trajectory. And another thing is, this is a guy, Sandy too, they've weathered tragedy in their life.
Yeah.
And they would have any excuse to be cynical or just dicks. And somehow they're not. They're two of the nicest people in the business. So point is, your question was about people
just
sort of
that reemergence,
reanalyzing, kind of considering
that 20, it was 2010, the sad Keanu. And I just remember, and it's something like even as recently as like the last couple of weeks, maybe I'd spoken about doing John Wick, or maybe Google was watching our texts or something. I don't know. But I started getting that great interview that he did with Stephen Colbert recently, which is like, oh, Keanu Reeves, what do you think what do you think happens when we die? And he goes, I think that the people who love us will miss us.
I mean, there's never been a better answer to that question.
That's the answer to that question. It's so beautiful. And exactly as you said, it's so soulful and so zen. It's just like, this guy is great. And like, even doing an interview, Keanu, what's your perfect day? Ride a motorcycle, have sex, go for a surf. You know, I'm just like, this guy's a fucking king. Like, we need to celebrate him. He's amazing.
And he also, I'm just looking at the filmography a bit. He pops up in something like Neon Demon, where he's not a good guy.
No, he's nasty.
And it's such an interesting casting. Yeah, totally. But recently, I was going to say, what I've noted is that the man is hard at work lately. Like, he's got so many projects he's either shooting or about to shoot. He's doing this Jonah Hill movie. He's got
Constantine 2.
Constantine 2 coming up. He's going to be in the Sonic the Hedgehog sequel. I mean, he just keeps going. Just, and that's something that Sandy said in my interview with the two of them, was just how he will just take a left when you don't expect it. Like, he always is doing something interesting that's not what you would think based on what the last thing was he did. And I, you know, God bless him. I mean, he's also in video game, Cyberpunk 2077. I mean, he is an American treasure, a national treasure.
Yes.
So anyway, he's the man. He was born here, right? Maybe I should make sure. Is he Canadian?
I thought he was Canadian. I've always thought he was Canadian. He
might be Canadian, and I'm just totally wrong about it. No, he was born in Beirut from Lebanon.
Wow.
We're going to claim him, though.
Yeah,
he's got roots in Toronto. I know that, but anyway. He's a treasure. He's a global treasure. Okay.
Yeah.
The world claims him. The universe claims him. He's a universal treasure.
Well, isn't it so funny that he says, like, I want to just jump back and go, Chad Stahelski, who is now like a huge action directing commodity in the business, the John Wick series has made collectively billions at this point over the four films, licensing, all that sort of stuff. And then you've got, you know, he's literally Keanu's stuntman and just gets him to do that. And there has been a steady reinvention of this like gun-fu and this gunplay and Keanu's commitment to not only physical action, but then there's like the action with gunplay and stuff like that. And you're now seeing that roll into other performances, other things. And I know that you know this because of course you do, but there was a time that Krisha Hairless in Heat was going to be Keanu Reeves. And I think for the longest time, folks were like, oh, that's a bit funny. Kilmer's clearly the guy. I'm not sure what Michael Mann was seeing there. He couldn't make it because of conflict, scheduling conflicts, etc. And then it went to Val. But like, when you watch him and his like industry defining gunplay in John Wick, you're like, oh yeah, he definitely could have done all the stuff that Val Kilmer does in Heat. Like, he could have done it in spades. Like, you see those videos of him on social media at that, you know, the gun training place, Taran Tactical in LA, like practicing for all of these movies. And he's unbelievable. He's like a prodigy.
Absolutely. I mean, I was just going to say before you even brought this up that I, when I think of him, you know, in the choreography of the gunplay, I really do think of Heat. I think of Val quite a bit.
Yes.
Which just means they know who to study with, right? I mean, they know exactly what they're doing as professionals, researching what goes into that, who to talk to and who to get trained by. And I wouldn't be shocked if some of the guys that train Keanu on these movies had something to do with Heat too. I mean, it's sort of like a little cottage industry people don't know about.
Yes.
But yeah, absolutely. And somebody else is worth talking about in all this is David Leitch. I mean, the producer. Yes. Obviously, he took off and became a director in his own right. Did Atomic Blonde and Deadpool 2 and
The Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
I think that David Leitch, you know, he and Stahelski worked on the first John Wick, and I genuinely think his best film is his latest. I think The Fall Guy is an absolute hoot. It's a real treat of a movie and a real love letter to stunts. Just in general, and those guys coming up through stunts together, it's like really a crescendo. It's as much of a commercial, popular, fun rom-com as it is his huge love letter to the stunt industry. And if that's what it is, then it's absolutely sensational. It's really, really brilliant. And again, Leach, they both bounced off, you know, Leach, much like kind of like the Matthew Vaughn to Guy Ritchie much earlier, like bounced off and made a whole bunch of movies. And then for a lot of people, it's like, you know, in the film commentariat, as you said, you know, start picking your favorite. Is your favorite Guy Ritchie or is it Matt Vaughn or is it when they made movies together? And it's like one of those things, it's like, well, you know, get over it. They can both be good filmmakers. Who cares? But yeah, he's definitely gone off and carved his own path. And you can see almost like, I feel like the closer he was to John Wick, you can see Leach's sensibilities, how directly they bled into some of the, you know, the stylings of the first John Wick. And then you can also see where he is now like sort of more truly becoming his own voice as a director, which is really, really pleasing and really cool.
And I even like, by the way, I was kind of a big fan of Hobbs and Shaw. I know everybody hated it, but
I liked Hobbs and Shaw quite a bit too. Yeah, I did too. I had a fun time at the movies with Hobbs and Shaw, more than I'd had in a couple of Fast and Furiouses, to be honest.
Exactly. That Idris Elba song too is a total banger.
It's a banger.
Total banger.
It is really, really good. But also I really want to quickly talk about John Wick just in the, like, the people around the franchise. So in the first film, which we're talking about, which is sensational, the centering of people like Lance Reddick and Ian McShane, like these HBO alums, and like centering them there and having like John Leguizamo and Adrian Palicki and then Willem Dafoe and all these amazing people.
Mayhem.
Just all these amazing people in this movie has really carried through to the rest of the franchise, because I think that that's another thing that can be appreciated of both Keanu as a person who attracts this kind of talent and Chad Stahelski is like a curator and a praiser of like great talent. It's like in every new John Wick, there is all these amazing support actors. Alfie Allen, or how can I forget Alfie Allen, how much of a shitbag he is in this first movie. Michael Nyquist. It's like that cast also really sets a template and a standard that they have a hard time, but they somehow do it in all of the Wick movies, like coming forward and just bringing it with these amazing performers, you know, eventually Fishburne, but Common, and, you know, like going into the later movies, like oh my God, I'm starting to lose their names of all of the different people. I'm going to John Wick chapter 4 as we're talking right now, because I need to read the cast list. But like, yes, yeah, Bill Skarsgård, Donnie Yen, like Scott Adkins coming in that huge fat suit.
Halle Berry in the second one.
Halle Berry in the third one. She's a pure killer. Yeah, just it's an amazing sort of appreciation of these great actors that are throughout the franchise.
Halle Berry, who turned down the role of Annie in Speed when it was Darlene and she was an ambulance driver. But yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
See,
more of that than 50 miles per hour, everybody. Go ahead and go.
Folks,
after you're done here.
After you're done here. After you're done here. 50 miles per hour, 50 episodes.
The actors? Well, first of all, I was making a Dean Winters joke with the Mayhem. I don't know if you guys get this over there. The Allstate commercials where he does the insurance and he plays a character named Mayhem. And he's like, what if I happen? You need to be covered. It's like this great series of commercials, Dean Winters. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you need that kind of gravitas around you in a movie like this, because especially with such a zen main character, right?
Yes.
Because you're not getting personality per se out of him. You're getting style and swagger and attitude and pathos, but not the gravitas of bouncing that guy off of an Ian McShane, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, that is one of the great like combos in modern action is like those two kind of personalities engaging with each other. I just always thought that was great. And obviously we lost
Lance.
Last year. Was that last year or earlier this year?
It was last year, I think. Tragic. It was
last year. So yeah. And he's just always such a presence. I mean, that tells you that Chad is more than a guy who can choreograph a fight scene, right? I mean, that he knows how to fill out a world that very much needs to be filled out, because it's not just a bang bang action movie. It's a bang bang action movie that's set in this fantastical world, ultimately.
Yes.
And you know, just having the faces for that and having the right punctuation for that is key.
It's also like there's so many like tidbits now here, like we were talking about Keanu's dedication to training. I wonder if this is actually true, but it's like he trained for something like 8 hours a day for 4 months with weapons and martial arts before the first John Wick, which is probably no surprise to someone like you, who is a bit of a Keanu aficionado at this point. It's like this guy is a relentless preparer to be ready, and he knows, and as you said, he's a mensch, but to be Keanu Reeves at the center of this thing and to be the person who, in a lot of the thing, he's like, I do action, I don't do stunts, which I also love about his whole demeanor and his humility is like, I do hard action, you know, I'll shoot the gun, I'll get into the fight, but if someone jumps off something or gets thrown downstairs or gets hit by a car, that's a stunt man. That's not me. I'm like, yes, right. That's so cool that he's just like, yeah, that's like a really great thing. And yeah, it's just, again, this whole thing now that is, it's become an entire industry. It's become a shorthand. It's become the way that people talk about, like, you know, surprising success stories. And it's also, I think, again, cast a great light on just how incredible action is and how valuable stunts are and how it's doing something that seems so antithetical to so many other franchises, which, although they do have the stunts and the bombast, they do it all with digital photography. And I think that Stahelski has come in and had a major influence in the last decade over like contemporary action.
Absolutely. And just along those lines, I just wanted to read something that Keanu said in my interview with him about all of this, which he was talking about working with Gary Himes, the famed stunt coordinator on Speed. And that was the movie that really, I mean, yeah, there was Point Break, but Speed turned Keanu Reeves into a global action star. And that's something else that's cool about the John Wick movies, is that it allows him to continue being that now, because while he was doing some action stuff in that kind of weird era, he wasn't that star anymore, right? You know, Matrix had at that point been long gone. So it's really cool that he can come back around and continue that sort of aura. But he said, working with Gary Himes was really cool, helping me go into that Harrison Ford kind of physical acting thing. But the idea of doing as much as you can so that the camera can stay with the character. And to me, the idea of these heightened situations are moments for character, and I love them. There you go. It all boils down to character. You know, it's not just about an enervating kind of circumstance. It's what does what you're doing, what you're putting on film have to say about the character and the story you're telling. And just that he's always got his mind there is good to know.
And also it just shows his strength. I just love how he's embraced how he's got the diversity of all these different kinds of roles in his career, but I just also love when an actor does their thing better than no one can do. Keanu, no one can do what he does. He is exactly as you said, he's just like soulful, pathos, saying very little. And I think the emotional engine of the original John Wick, which we're focusing on today, is exactly why it takes it to those new heights. It's enough fuel in the, it's almost like napalm that just cannot stop burning. It's like the fuel that gets kicked off in John Wick fuels really 3 to 4 of these movies. You know, it becomes this entire thing. I think even the fourth one is a little bit more meditative, and it's him getting back to it and has a lot of bigger exterior characters. You know, you've got Hiroyuki Sanada, you've got Donnie Yen, you've got Lawrence Fishburne, you've got these characters that are also helping him sort of bounce off him and reverberate from his sort of central presence. But yeah, he's a really special actor. And I think that this movie, you know, has had such a special place over the last 10 years because it's unlike some of those others where you want to dig into them and you want people to discover it. It's like, it's become ubiquitous. Like John Wick is, when you say John Wick, like, you know, people are like, they never should have killed that fucking puppy. You know, like they never should have stolen that car. Like it's so great. It's so wonderful. And I think, you know, if anything, making more people go back and revisit old Keanu as well, Point Breaks and Speed as you also, it's that's what is so great about it.
Speed's been moving up the charts on iTunes, by the way, I've noted in the last week or two. Not sure why that could be.
Let's also
not forget the New York Times did their list of the top 25 actors of the 21st century back in 2020. Mm-hmm. And number four was Keanu Reeves. So, you know, the Keanu-sance is ongoing as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And yeah, I love that dude. I don't know. Maybe we'll see Speed 3.
Look, if he's making Constantine 2, they can make a Speed 3. I mean, Constantine is a ripper of a movie and I love it. And he was always so excited to explore that character again, which is so fucking cool that they're actually going to let him do it because Constantine rules. But man, if they can make Constantine 2, they can make Speed 3. I think people would go. I mean, let's Top Gun Maverick Speed 3. Like, let's go.
Yes. Don't ignore the sequel either. Don't ignore 2. No. You can't pretend that movie didn't happen.
Embrace.
The movie exists. It's in the ether. And let's just figure out a way to
reset
those wounds.
Reset.
Through a third film. I don't know. Why not? Sounds to me like both Keanu and Sandy are into it.
I can't wait. We can lay John Wick to rest in 2024.
Yeah.
He's going to pop up in this movie Ballerina with Ana de Armas, which Chad Stahelski is currently directing or doing pickup shoots for that. But yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
I mean, he'll somehow return as John Wick when he's like in his 70s or something. It'll be something. Let's get John Wick in space. I don't give a fuck. Let's just go all out.
That John Wick versus Jackie Chan is and Jet Li, like, we need those guys, you know, that he's already done the creme de la creme. Like, we need those guys. It's coming. John Wick via the Expendables. Chris Tapley, you're a legend. Thank you so much for joining me to gush about this. For folks who want to check out everything that Chris is working on, 50 Miles Per Hour is his incredible old history of speed. Has an incredible brand spanking new interview with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock, the stars of that. And it has my favorite episode is The Directors on Speed, a fantastic episode that has John McTiernan, that has Barry Jenkins, that has Guillermo del Toro, Paul Verhoeven. Oh my God.
And Joe Carnahan, my buddy Joe.
Joe Carnahan, whose movie The Gray is one of my favorites of.
Oh my God. I've been wanting to watch that again lately.
Well, we can find an excuse. Let's talk to Joe Carnahan about it. We'll do it when you finish Speed. Guys, thank you so much for listening to The Decade Project. We'll catch you on another episode very, very soon. Go follow everything that Chris has got. It's all linked in the show notes and you can check it out. But thanks, man, for coming to chat, John Wick, with me.
Thank you, man. Big finale, June 10th, 50 miles per hour. Check it out.
See you guys.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.